Get to Smoothie King today and try the new blueberry, raspberry, or watermelon lemonade smoothies. They're all made with real fruit, real juice, and no bad stuff. Just check out the no-no list at smoothieking.com. Try the new lemonade smoothies at Smoothie King today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, of recent time, Ray Tierney, the Suffolk County District Attorney, hasn't really made himself available to the media. And today, he decided, I guess it's the one-year anniversary of the arrest of Rex Heuermann, to appear on TV. And what is new in the case? Well, some of the things that he could talk about, of course, is the question that was raised very recently by attorney John Ray in regards to potential family members being involved in this Gilgo Beach serial killer case. And Ray Tierney reiterates that they have no evidence of that whatsoever. In fact, he restates that every time Rex Heuermann struck, every time he committed a murder, his family was out of town, either in another country or in another state. And that is one of the big reasons that he gives that they're not involved, and Rex Heuermann absolutely acted alone. One of the obviously scary things was the recent press conference when two more victims were added to the list. And they are the women you see on the screen right now, Jessica Taylor and Sandra Castilla. And in the case of Sandra Castilla, this gets really concerning for everyone on Long Island and for everyone that has ever or is still investigating these cases. Because the case of Sandra Castilla goes back to 1993. And the interesting thing about that, the technology that we all should be proud of, our criminal justice scientists that were able to put this evidence together and finding two hairs that were tested through the science of mitochondrial DNA, identified as belonging to Rex Heuermann and to Rex Heuermann's ex-wife. The second one was of Jessica Taylor, and that case goes back to 2003. And her body was, of course, found in Manorville. And we've had all those pictures of Rex Heuermann shooting at a firing range out in Manorville, something that we didn't know about until very recently. So what does this mean also to the defense of Rex Heuermann? Does anyone believe Michael Brown when he says Rex Heuermann maintains his innocence? He maintains that he had nothing to do with this. Is there a single person that believes that? And how about the fact that they went back to the home of Rex Heuermann for a second search warrant, no doubt having something to do with the searches they were doing out in Manorville? Also, we'll hear Ray Tierney talk about how much of the evidence they have is digital and the evidence is encrypted, which therefore makes it very time-consuming and to uncover this evidence. So every day that they're able to break these codes, they're able to collect new evidence in regards to these cases. And of course, who you see up on the screen there is the Gilgo Four: Megan Waterman, Melissa Bartolome, Amber Costello, and Maureen Brainerd Barnes. And now, of course, we have it. There's a better picture of Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. Now, with two more victims added to the list, of course, this investigation is expanding and will not be shut down probably ever, unless after Rex Heumann goes to trial, and if he in fact gets convicted, maybe at that point they'll get him to come clean and to talk. But until that point, he's maintaining his innocence and he's not speaking at all about this case. So folks, hold on to your hats, hold on to your wig, hold on to your children, hold on to your service dog, hold on to your neighbors, because you're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone. You're about to enter the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in Tampa and Grant's bike by there.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
So, folks, other than the last press conference that Ray Tierney gave, he's pretty much hasn't been available to meet to the media. He hasn't been speaking. And that differs a great deal from the beginning of this case when it seemed like every other day he was talking to some news person. But anyway, here's WPIX, and they do an interview with Ray Tierney today. And this is the one-year anniversary of Rex Heumann's arrest.
Rex Heumann is due back in Suffolk County Court in Riverhead later this month. Saturday marks 1 year since the arrest of the 60-year-old architect from Massapequa, Long Island. He's been charged with murdering and mutilating six women.
Just last month, investigators recovered additional evidence from Heumann's home, which could lead to even more charges. And joining us this morning is Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney to give us the latest updates on this very case. So, DA Tierney, great to have you here this morning again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this. It remains a very active investigation, right? And as we saw when investigators returned to the Heumann home back in May, there was once again this massive search inside the home. So what can you tell us was found and why you decided to go back in that second time?
So there was a number of investigative steps that we felt we needed to take. Chief among those were the search out east, which we did with the dogs and a number of other agencies, as well as going back into the house. We've recollected a lot of evidence. We're going through that evidence. A lot of that evidence is going to be trace evidence, blood, DNA, that type of stuff, which we're searching for. So we'll just have to wait for the forensic scientists to go through that evidence. And among the evidence that we had previously found, which caused us to do that, was chief among them was the planning document, which we allege is a document where the defendant evinced his intent to murder the six charged crimes.
And based on that document, we learned serious, disturbing details of how he was making notes, basically, on how he wanted to kill again and what he would change and what he would do to the women that he was allegedly torturing. Based on that document and what else you found in that house, do you change your stance on what you believe his estranged wife knew?
No. I think that if there's one thing that's been consistent throughout the case is that there's no evidence that the defendant acted in concert with anyone else. All of these crimes appear to have been committed by him and him alone. In addition, when you look at all of the six charged murders, we have been able to establish that the wife and the family were out of town when these incidents occurred. So
very interesting, right? Because all of us, I think, with great interest, watched the most recent press conference with attorney John Ray. And alongside him was a serial killer expert, Dr. Gary Brucato. Very wonderful man, brilliant, He's really a learned man, one of the premier experts on serial killers in the nation. And some of the evidence that John Ray has presented, is it in fact evidence or is it hearsay? And if we believe what District Attorney Ray Tierney is saying right now, then what Attorney John Ray is presenting is not evidence at all. And we saw all the disturbing photos. We saw John Ray try to implicate Rex Uemmann's daughter. He also tried at another time implicate Asa Ellerup, his wife. So does this slam the door as far as law enforcement is concerned with implicating anyone else? You heard Ray Tierney say, though, he absolutely acted alone. And there's no one else involved in this case. So taking it from law enforcement, we have to go with what Ray Tierney just told us in this interview.
Which would give the defendant unfettered time to commit these acts.
You know, Huerman was initially charged with the deaths of those Gilgo Four, right? That was the first press conference you had about a year ago. But since then, he's been charged with two more. And now you're back there looking for more evidence, right? We know about the blueprint. And the big question here is, could there be, since there were a lot of other murders along Long Island, how many more potential victims could be tied to Huerman? What are you looking at here?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Yeah, so as prosecutors, you know, we don't talk about what we think happened. We talk about what we could prove, and we speak through indictments. So as you said, initially, he was charged with three out of the four Gilgo Four. Later, he was charged with the murder of Brainerd Barnes, the fourth victim in that group. And then subsequent to that, he has been charged with Sandra Castilla and Jessica Taylor. And as we've said all along, the investigation is evolving. It originated with the Gilgo Four. Now it's moved beyond, to not only the other bodies on Gilgo, but as well as other bodies in Suffolk County. And I think the latest indictment evinces that, because Sandra Castilla was not on Gilgo, where a portion of Jessica Taylor's remains were found on Gilgo.
So you're saying it is possible that there could be potentially more victims tied to him as the case progresses?
We're going to keep on working. The investigation is a large, a sprawling in both scope and time, and we're going to work through it. And we won't have any comment if we're able to lodge additional charges.
Are you looking at Rex Huerman as a potential suspect in the bodies that were found in Manorville near the Brookhaven lab?
The way we look at cases is we start from the crime scene and we work our way back. We don't come in with any preconceived ideas about who may or may not have done it. So each body is a different crime scene. We start at that crime scene and we work our way out, and we don't talk about it until we're ready to make a charge.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's connecting things. Obviously, Ray Tierney is very careful, very measured in what he's saying. But they're not going to let the cat out of the bag until they have forensic evidence connecting Rex Huerman to a body. Alan G. From the chat just asked the question, did they ever disclose what was found in his two rented storage units? Rex Huerman is another Joel Rifkin monsters. Alan G., no, they have not. They have not. The only time they disclose evidence is if the evidence comes back and helps them establish probable cause. What the whole reason for going back to that second warrant at the at Rex Heumann's home in Massapequa Park was some of the digital evidence had told them some scary things. So specifically, the planning document, they found that they were able to unencrypt it, and it was a Word document. So when you think of how scary that is, that the planning document, they were able to uncover that many years, later on in the investigation. So Heumann was arrested in July 2023, as we know, right? And near his Midtown Manhattan office, and eventually charged with the murders of three women whose bodies were discovered bound with belts or tape and wrapped in burlap along a stretch of Long Island's Gilgo Beach in 2010. He was later charged in January 2024 in the death of a fourth woman. And I believe that was Maureen Brainerd Barnes. They didn't have enough initially to charge him with that case. Those victims, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, Amber Costello, and Maureen Brainerd Barnes, became known as the Gilgo Four. Heumann pleaded not guilty to the charges related to all four. A big break in the case came in January 2023 when investigation took a swab from a leftover pizza crust Heumann discarded in the trash outside his Manhattan office, according to court documents. DNA evidence initially linked him to a hair found on the burlap sack where Waterman's remains were found. So the key evidence in all of these cases, because they happened so long ago, is DNA. And we're talking about mitochondrial DNA. Forensic testing performed on strands of hair on or near both Taylor and Castilla's remains found that 99.96% of the North American population could be excluded as the source of the hairs, but Rex Heumann could not. The latest bail application said two forensic laboratories determined hairs recovered on five of the six victims were tied to Heumann, members of the immediate family or people who lived with him. So all of these pieces of evidence, again, forensically, we have no eyeball witnesses, you know, at least from coming from the district attorney's perspective. We've heard other people say that, I believe Attorney John Ray has said that he has a witness that saw or can tie Rex Heumann to several of the escorts, the cab driver that he refers to. But Ray Tierney isn't saying that there's any truth to that. Carol Grayston gifted five Police Off the Cuff memberships. Carol, thank you so much, guys. This is Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, and share us with your friends and your family. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with count them five different levels. Let's go back to the interview of Ray Tierney here. Hang on 1 second, folks. This is the technical end of this. Okay, I'm going to put it back up on the screen. That's why I sometimes wish I had a producer, but I have to do all these things.
Hypotheticals, right? Nobody wants to hear about the hypothetical, but I guess that there's a big question about the timeline, right? And when this all potentially began and the age of some of these workers. And I know you've interviewed hundreds of sex workers who have claimed to have had encounters now with Heumann, which date back to more than 30 years ago. So could this have all began? I know it's a hypothetical again, but could it have began 30 years ago?
Well, I mean, I think the allegation is the earliest one is Sandra Castillo, which is 1993,
yeah.
Which puts us back in that time frame. So, you know, anything is really in play. But again, it's the evidence which dictates, and it's what we can prove, not what we think.
I want to ask you, based on what was discovered in Huerman's house, all of the evidence, including that blueprint, what surprised you most?
I don't think anything surprised me. I think the thing about these cases is really anything is on the table, and you just have to go in again with no preconceived ideas and just follow the evidence. And, you know, would submit that all of the investigative steps we took were necessary and were dictated by, what the previous investigation revealed. We first identified Mr. Huerman as a suspect, and that's all he is a suspect at this point, March 14th of 2022. And we've been, working ever since to try to establish more evidence.
Yeah, and I think going back into the home surprised many, right? Because you spent quite a number of days in the original time you were there. Did you get everything you needed from the house, or is there potentially another reason you'd go back in?
Well, I mean, I think the reason why we went back the second time is because we gathered a tremendous amount of evidence, including a tremendous amount of digital evidence.
Yeah.
Many of that evidence was encrypted, so we had to unencrypt it, and we had to evaluate it. So that took a while. The planning document, which is referenced in our bail letter, we discovered that in March of this year, and based upon that, we went back in based on what we saw from the earlier search.
Gotcha. So, DA, we're almost out of time. We're out of time. I just want to get real quick on what happens at the next court date.
So again, unfortunately, cases aren't like TV, especially a case like this, when we go on back to all the way to 1993, tremendous amount of forensic, digital, and other evidence and documents, which we have to provide to the defense. We've been doing that. We're going to continue to do that.
All right, Seth.
So that was no new smoking gun information, but just hearing it coming out of Ray Tierney's mouth that he acted alone. He had no accomplices. He acted alone. There's no one in his family is involved in this. And we would, we're getting this from all different information, all different sources, right? The woman I was referring to before, and for some reason I had a blank in my head, of course, Shannon Gilbert, who was another expert who was not discovered on Gilgo, but rather Oak Beach. She was found her body was found 20 months after she disappeared. John Ray says he has a cab driver who can tie Rex Huerman into at least having a meeting with Shannon Gilbert in regards to the escort business. So is that true or not? You heard out of Ray Tierney's mouth. No, there's no accomplices. There's no one else involved here. So then what was the press conference about very recently where with all those horrible pictures and, of course, with that great Dr. Gary Brocato, who appeared besides John Ray talking about this case. This is when he was first arrested for these new cases.
Of one victim found decades ago that was only recently tied to the Gilgo Beach investigation. Good Day's Briella Tomasetti is outside the Huerman home in Massapequa Park, Long Island, with the details. Briella, what are you hearing?
Yeah, Dan and Tashani, good morning to both of you. So there are no investigators outside Rex Huerman's Long Island home today, but one could argue there were certainly signs these new charges were coming. Police were here 2 weeks ago conducting a second search of the home. And back in April, canine units spent hours combing through a wooded area where 28-year-old Sandra Castilla's remains were found about 30 years ago. In a shocking turn of events, Rex Huerman, the accused Gilgo Beach killer whose name is now infamous on Long Island, is expected to be charged with not just one, but two more killings today at a Suffolk County courthouse. Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney declined to talk about...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Those charges, confirming only that Huerman will stand before a judge at 9:30 this morning.
We'll wait until the court proceeding.
According to Newsday, the disgraced architect has been indicted in the November 1993 death of Sandra Costilla, a Queens woman whose remains were found in the town of Southampton more than three decades ago. The paper says he'll be arraigned in connection with her killing and the July 2003 dismemberment death of 20-year-old escort Jessica Taylor. Some of her remains were found in a wooded area in Manorville. The rest were located in March of 2011 along Ocean Parkway near those of another sex worker, 24-year-old Valerie Mack. No arrests have been made in her case. Huerman was initially arrested last July and pleaded not guilty in the deaths of four women, Melissa Bartholomew, Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Megan Waterman, and Amberlynn Costello. Their bodies were all located near each other on Ocean Parkway and were the first of 10 sets of remains found in the same area between fall of 2010 and spring of 2011. He's been held without bail since then on first and second degree murder charges. Last month, investigators were back in Massapequa Park carrying cardboard evidence boxes out of Huerman's home. Law enforcement officials stopped short of saying, though, what they were looking for.
Thursday, you will see the fruits of that investigation.
At Huerman's latest court appearance back in April, D.A. Tierney said that prosecutors turned over nearly 400 complete leads and more than 7,000 other persons of interest during the 13-year-long investigation. For now, though, we're live here.
So that was when he was first arrested with this new information they had, with the two new victims, based on the searches in Manorville. DCPNW from the chat, does this make him more Machiavellian to be so precise and long-standing yet alone? What it makes him more like all other serial killers, which most of the time serial killers absolutely work by themselves. They work alone. They do not share their victims or their ideas with anyone. And I think that's consistent with Rex Huerman. He definitely worked alone. But that's what we're getting from Ray Tierney. But yet other folks are insisting that he worked with other members of his family. And apparently that's not true. Well, that's absolutely not true. And when you listen or speak to the serial killer experts, the Dr. Gary Bricados, the Dr. Joni Johnsons, the Jim Clementis from the FBI, it's not unheard of that a serial killer can work with another person, but 90% of the time, they work alone. And I think that's also part of their psychology, that they will work alone because that's how they get their thrills. Most of serial killers are psychosexual sadistic killers. And that happens to be a fact. And that's one of the reasons they like to work together. I'm going to play a little bit of Dr. Joni Johnston, who was on my show a number of times, but she is a serial killer expert.
Owns a car, owns a house, is financially independent, is educated, is articulate, can travel around, just fits in with mainstream society. I think we would say that Rex Huerman is an organized offender, but with signs of disorganization. Would you comment upon that?
Yeah, it's interesting because the comments that we've gotten from his neighbors and then looking, for example, the contrast between his home and the appearance of his home and in his business and how polished he looks in that, you know, that picture, there is kind of a disconnect there, you know, and so we do kind of think, yeah. And it's interesting, Bill, because You're right. The earliest classifications for serial killers was organized versus disorganized. And I think as the years have gone by, we've realized that most serial killers are organized to some extent, or they wouldn't be able to be a serial killer, right? So there's some degree of organization. And then and also that even the most organized serial killer, given the right circumstances with the opportunity that's there, may become disorganized in terms of grabbing a victim just because they can. So I think that distinction has become a little bit blurred, but I think it is useful because we can talk about somebody who's, for example, married, has a home, has a business, is not somebody who's going to be necessarily snatching people off the street or hitting them with a hammer in the subway.
But at the same time, he displayed some attributes of a disorganized offender. And specifically, I'm going to point to something that occurred very recently. A woman made a police report against him. I believe it was just July 3rd in a park in Massapequa, where this large man popped out of the woods and started asking her like creepy questions. And she was so creeped out that she got away from him as quickly as she could, but she made a police report. That's how creeped out she was about this guy. And then when she saw he was arrested and she saw who it was, she was like, "That's the guy who approached me in this park." So, Doc, my question to you is, he was still working, wasn't he? He was still plying his trade.
You know, I will be very surprised if we find out that the last victim was killed in 2011 or 2012. Mm-hmm. And it's not because serial killers cannot stop, because we used to think unless they were incarcerated, unless they, died, unless something drastic happened, they would never stop killing on their own. We know that's not true. There have been serial killers who've taken long periods of time where they stopped. We know the Golden State Killer, for example, Joseph DeAngelo, quit, 20 years before he was caught. So it's not that serial killers don't stop. But when we read things like this person is still using a burner phones, this person is still contacting people who are engaging in sex work, that is what concerns me, because I'm not familiar, the research does not support, that there are sexually motivated serial killers who continue to do part of their job, and I'm putting that job in quotation marks, of course, but not the rest of it. That would be very, very atypical. So that does concern me. I mean, I would be very interested in knowing if he's been involved with, with women who are engaging in sex work and has not killed them, what their experience has been like with him. What is he doing?
That's tremendously interesting. And Dr. Joni Johnston, serial killer expert, said she would be very interested to know, to find out, was he involved with sex workers, escorts, that he went, had a liaison with, let's say, and did not kill them? I think the answer to that is probably yes, but we don't know for sure because that part of the investigation has really never been released. There's two more escorts, Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack. And in the case of Valerie Mack, he has never been charged with that yet. So all of these cases, going back to Sandra Castillo in 1993, does that alarm anyone that's listening? It alarms me that shows he would have been what? That's 31 years ago. He would have been 29 years old. Did he just start then? According to serial killer expert Dr. Gary Brucato, he says most serial killers start on the average at about the age of 26. So is that a little early for Rex Uhlman? Did he start at 26, or did he in fact start at 29 when the latest one, Sandra Castillo, happened in 1993? Very scary, very scary. So what we all think, I think what most of us think, is that there's way more bodies out there. They haven't been found yet. But
if you recall this investigation, you may think that the police jumped the gun and moved too quickly on Rex Schumann. But I'll tell you why they did that. They moved in earlier than they wanted to because he was still evincing this type of behavior. He was still calling escorts. He was still buying burner phones. Don't forget, they were able to get into his computer with a search warrant remotely. So he never knew the police had all the information from his computer. He didn't know that. They searched it remotely. So when it first came out, the second search warrant, where they told everyone that he had a planning document containing detailed notes on how to plan and clean up the crimes he's accused of. So we know that he's accused of six. And the two most recently added to the Gilgo Four was Sandra Castilla in 1993, and her body found out in Southampton, Eastern Long Island, and Jessica Taylor, who went missing in 2003. So Uerman, we all know he's from Massapequa Park, was previously indicted on four murder charges in connection with the bodies of the women that had been found across Long Island's Gilgo Beach since 2010. So he was arrested. This is the one-year anniversary. I think Saturday, they said, will be the one-year anniversary of his arrest. So they alleged he took diligently took notes on the preparation and cleanup of the alleged murders. And what the indictment refers to as the planning document, authorities claim Uerman allegedly methodically took notes to plan out his kills. It includes an exhaustive collection of bullet points and columns with different kinds of notes. One section of the planning document allegedly features four columns labeled problems, supplies, DS, and TRG. The list under each column appear to indicate possible challenges to executing a killing and what tools one might need. The problems column shows a bulleted list that includes hair and fiber, DNA, fingerprints and gloves, and bloodstains, according to the indictment. Under supplies, the list includes saw, cutting tools, lye, acid, burn can, and a police scanner. I mean, if that document isn't one of the most powerful pieces of evidence that we've seen in one of these cases, I don't know what it is. Carly from the chat: I also think he killed the men found in Manorville, found near where Valerie and Jessica's partial remains were found. You know, Carly, as District Attorney Ray Tierney said, we can't conjecture. We can only, him speaking for the Gilgo Beach Task Force and the people working on this case, they can only act upon evidence. And they may even have other bodies that they're looking at that they haven't revealed because they don't have the evidence to tie them in, to tie him into these cases. You know, we all know that this case was hampered by a lot of corruption back in the day. You guys have mentioned in the chat Chief James Burke, who famously kicked the FBI off this case, who famously sort of disregarded evidence. Think of that, the Chevy Avalanche. That was in the case folder for years, and no one acted upon it. But when the Gilgo Beach Task Force was formed, 2 months after the task force was formed, they identified the owner of that vehicle as Rex Schumann.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So incredible, right? But what were they doing? What were they doing before that with this investigation? Why did it take them so many years to find out who Rex Schulman was? Nancy, I'm seeing in the chat, I can't read all these things because some of you guys are making allegations that they're not proven. We can't just look, James Burke, many of you think that James Burke was a conspirator in these cases, but one of the things that we know about serial killers that may put that to rest is that 90% of the time, I'm throwing out that most of the time, I'm not going to throw out a number I'm not sure of, that they work alone. They're not working with anyone else. So that in itself, did James Burke, Chief James Burke, hurt this case? Did he make it drag on for years because they didn't do a proper investigation? You bet. You bet, absolutely. But was he involved in it? We can't say that. We don't have any evidence to that. And, you have to go with law enforcement. You have to go with what Ray Tierney is saying. Patty from the chat, if he was doing these murders while the family went away, they must have a schedule. Other times, they were out of town on other dates so they could connect any missing sex workers at those dates. Patty, that's absolutely correct. Misbelieving, it's basically a written confession. Well, not quite misbelieving, but powerful evidence nonetheless. Not a confession, but very powerful evidence. Patricia Johnson, what about two books written, two documentaries? Patricia, there's been so much news, there's been so much written on this case, there's been documentaries, but until last July, when Rex Schulman was arrested, none of the dots were connected relative to the investigation. In fact, many people thought there was more than one killer in the Gilgo Beach murders. And now I think it looks... Patricia Johnson. Patricia, I agree with you. Suffolk County Police, the detectives, Spoda, the indicted district attorney, all of that makes this case look horrific. And then when we even go back to the Shannon Gilbert case, that case is, as far as the Suffolk County Police are concerned, they think that case is closed, that she did go to that location. And I don't want to get deeply into that because we could do a whole show on that. But that Shannon Gilbert's case is not ruled as a homicide right now. It's ruled as an accidental death. And many of you disagree with that. Sakizi, Mr. Bill, I have so many podcasters this question. He traveled to Richmond, Virginia. Has anything come out of Virginia? Sakizi, so far, the investigations that have crossed state lines, the cases that have, remember there was four bodies in Atlantic City early on in the investigation, they had mentioned that he's been cleared of that. So what does that mean? That just means that the forensic evidence that they have in those cases does not match Rex Schulman. H. Cook from the chat, I believe Burke and Rex Schulman ran in the same crowd, so Burke didn't believe someone he knew would be involved. H. Cook, possible. That's very possible, all right? Nancy, I'm stating facts that are definitely provable. This is a very high-level politician. I know him very well for over 50 years. Nancy, all the people and all the evidence in this case, if people have evidence, then they should come forward to the police and speak to the police about that evidence that potentially they're holding back that the police don't know about. But until it's presented to the authorities, it's not evidence. It's just, hearsay. So, Patricia Johnson, footage of women in hotels on Fire Island. Look, there's no doubt. And one of the things that Dr. Joni Johnson said, the great serial killer expert, she said she would love to know if Rex Heuermann dated escorts that he didn't kill. And I believe he absolutely did, because he was a prolific user of sex escorts. So he couldn't have killed every single one of them, could he? And that was probably part of his sickness, that he needed to date escorts, needed to go out with escorts. That's one of the reasons that the case was taken down earlier than the police actually wanted to. Linda Liu, no doubt, Shannon Gilbert's case helped break the Gilgo Beach case. Linda Liu, I do not deny that. I think that's well known. Nancy from the chat, he's extremely secretive, used multiple aliases, names, ages, careers. I knew him with the first name Michael. I know how obsessive he is. Are you talking about Rex Heuermann, Nancy? Just write in the chat, yes or no. Because sometimes I come into this chat and it's... Susie Bug, wow, I just got the love notification and Bill started 40 years ago. Carol Jane, think too of what police have that hasn't been made public. As hard-hitting as the documents are, what else is there we aren't getting to see? Carol Jane, good point. I'm sure there's a lot of information that the police have that they have yet to release to the public, because some of it is also discovery material. Discovery material that the prosecution has to give to the defense. Elena Gonzalez from the chat. Yes, yes, absolutely. He did date other women. He was constantly fishing for women. You know, one of the things that we know as part of the Gilgo Beach Task Force is investigators from the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office. Remember Sheriff Errol Toulon? Great guy. I had him on the show once. What a hell of a nice guy. He's been in the correctional field for, I think he said, like 43 years. That'd be pretty much all his adult life. And part of their job is to interview escorts who get arrested while they're in jail and ask them the questions that they know about this case. And see if there's anything that they can vet, any information, any evidence that they can tie together from these escorts that has a commonality, or if there's anyone else involved. All of these things are so important. Johanna James, it blows my mind that normal people out here trying to be nice and good people, and there's Rex spending years killing people. He must have no soul. How does he sleep at night? Well, he's a serial killer, and they have serious psychological issues besides many other things. Carly from the chat, Shannon and Castillo broke the case. Without Amber Castillo's friend, this wouldn't have been solved. I think you're right. And, you know, one of the things, Carly, also that helped solve this case undoubtedly was the Gilgo Beach Task Force that was started by former police commissioner Rodney Harrison and current district attorney Ray Tierney. That was the catalyst that got this case moving, no doubt. Lightwalkers in the chat, I believe that John Bitroff could also have run with these two as well. Rita Ten, Teddy and Sandra Castilla and Colleen McNamee are all near each other, dump sites and same time frame. I think I have a picture up of, there he is right there. Let me get your comment off the screen. It's sort of blocking it. That's John Bitroff there. Now, I believe John Bitroff is currently doing life in prison. Initially, this woman on the screen next to John Bitroff is Sandra Castilla. Initially, they thought he murdered Sandra Castilla, but they had since identified the mitochondrial DNA that was on a bag underneath her body as Rex Humans and the other hair was identified as belonging to his ex-wife. So that's the evidence that got them off of John Bitroff being involved in this and put them on Rex Humans. And why is that so important? Well, one of the big reasons is because now it takes us back to 1993, making Rex Humans 29 years old. And again, I suggested earlier, could he have started earlier than that? Yeah, you bet he could have, right? You bet. How exhausting do you think this investigation is and will continue to be? The investigators will not stop. They're going to keep doing this till they get closure. And, you know, you may ask, well, how do they come up with other bodies? They just go out and search the woods? Well, it all starts with missing person reports. Escorts talking to the Suffolk County investigators in the Suffolk County jail. Escorts throughout the state prison system that may be from Long Island that talk to investigators. That is how this investigation will continue. And as you heard Ray Tierney say in that interview, they are continuing to uncover new evidence all the time. Don't forget, the planning document was an encrypted document that was a Word document that opened up a Pandora's box of evidence against Rex Humans. I want to play this up on the screen. It's some News Nation.
Defense attorney and former prosecutor Peter Frankel now. I mean, wow, we weren't quite sure what to expect today in court. Now we've got two additional murder charges, bringing now six charges against Rex Humans, Jessica Taylor and Sandra Castillo. I mean, how much does this bolster the prosecution's defense, given the evidence Laura was just laying out they now have?
Yeah, great to be with you, Marnie. Thank you for having me. So I don't think anybody expected this. As a former prosecutor, I can tell you that, you know, we have to recognize all the efforts that have been made, that the tireless efforts by law enforcement to continue to work these cold cases. Now we know that these cases go back to at least 1993. So it's really, we wouldn't be having this conversation if not for the efforts of law enforcement, of course. That being said, as a defense attorney, this is an absolute nightmare for Mr. Humans. I mean, you can always have a trial, have dueling experts, and argue to the jury that DNA evidence may not be reliable, for example. But now, when you have all of these electronic documents that not only go to the planning of these horrific murders, but also talk about steps after the murders are completed, I mean, that's the sort of evidence that it's essentially impossible to try to defend against. So from the prosecution standpoint today, I mean, this evidence is overwhelming.
It's a blueprint to murder, right? If it is what it appears to be in this document. I'm also curious, and are you as well, Peter, about the fact that this second search led to this evidence. They were there almost a year ago. Humans has been behind bars since July of 2023, that we're only now seeing this evidence presented in this case. I'm imagining that is a question the defense is going to have about the timeline.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because we know that there were three bodies or remains that were recovered in Maryville, which is about an hour from Gilgo Beach, two of which were apparently women we know. And they went back, they searched the woods in Maryville in April of this year. Subsequent to that, they went back, they were able to get search warrants for Mr. Humans' home. They went back to the home. They spent a significant amount of time in the basement. So one can only surmise that between what they found back in the woods in Maryville and what they found in Humans' basement in May, that had a significant role in leading to this additional indictment. I think, you know, Marnie, what's also interesting here is the defense had been talking a lot about the prior police chief James Burke and how he was corrupt and he was potentially a suspect or can compromise the investigation. He went to prison. But in light of what we know from today, you know, the defense is going to have to rethink where they're going to go with their arguments, because, you know, James Burke and whatever he did or didn't do for the 3 years that he was police chief now becomes even less significant in trying to defend this case.
Finally, Peter, Huerman's estranged wife, Asa Ellerup, filed for divorce shortly after his arrest. But we know in the months after that, she has visited him a number of times in prison. She's shown up for several of these hearings. How important will his support be for his defense and maybe for the prosecution's case, given what she may or may not know?
I think it's very significant. You know, what's interesting to me is that there seems to be a lot of evidence that demonstrates that when these murders were allegedly committed, that the family always seemed to be away out of town, gave him an opportunity to do what he was doing. So it goes back to something that Laura mentioned with respect to this book that was recovered in the house and whether or not that can actually be connected in some way to the rest of the family members, or if this was just another piece of the puzzle that relates specifically and only to Rex Huerman.
Wow. Well, incredible developments in court today in this ongoing case against Rex Huerman. Peter Frankel, thank you for your perspective.
So, you know, again, nothing smoking gun-esque today, but, you know, Ray Tierney talking about how as they come up with new evidence, this case is absolutely not over. But some of the things he spoke about, that the evidence was encrypted, that's how they came up with the planning document. They got into that document, and that he feels that...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Rex Huerman absolutely acted alone. Milwaukee Civilian from the chat, thank you so much for the $20 super sticker. Acknowledging law enforcement non-miss, non-feasance. Police often know things that cannot be proved in court. Suffolk County screwed up, but Rodney Harrison got it right. You know, Milwaukee Civilian, 100%. You can't look at this case without looking at the corruption angle. We all have to acknowledge that, because for years, nothing happened with this case. And when, in regards to from the law enforcement end, and we always have to remember these four women up on the screen. Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. They were the initial Gilgo Four, right? And initially, when the arrest of Rex Huerman was made, there was only three. There was Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. And I believe they added the case of Maureen Brainerd Barnes once they had enough evidence to prove it. But prior to that, they didn't have the evidence necessary to bring that case in. And if you remember, that case was brought forth after all the other cases. So they haven't, as they said, they haven't stopped. The investigation has not stopped. And you see up on the screen there, that is Jessica Taylor. And excuse me, I could be wrong there. That I think that is actually, it is Jessica Taylor, right? But Valerie Mack is the other case that they haven't been able to get the evidence on in order to put all these cases together. There's the little map of Long Island up on the screen. The Gilgo Beach murders of four victims are believed to be connected, nearly all in the same place. And then two victims were dismembered with some of their body parts found here and others found 45 miles away in Manorville in 2000 and 2003. You see up on the screen, no one believes that anymore. A second killer may be responsible for those murders. Now, I think most people in the know believe that Rex Heuermann is responsible for all of these murders. And to tell you the truth, I didn't believe it early on. Now I do. Now I believe he is the sole, the lone Gilgo Beach killer. And I would have never been believed that before. H. Cook from the chat, Rodney Harrison started the task force ASAP. Yes, former law enforcement stuck it up, but how good guys are on it and making progress. You're 100% right, H. Cook. Joanne W., I don't care what your career path is. Nobody deserves what this ogre did. You're 100% right. Look, could that have been one of the problems? And that was mentioned earlier, that the culture of the Suffolk County Police, that perhaps, and I hate to even believe this, that perhaps they didn't work as hard in these cases because the victims were escorts. That's not what a real homicide investigator does. It shouldn't matter to a homicide investigator what someone does for a living, what station someone is in life, what caste system someone is in life, whether someone is white, black, Asian, Indian. That should have no effect on the effort that's put in the investigation. And is there any evidence that that was the case? I don't know. I don't know what the culture of the Suffolk County Police Department was, but that could be a possibility. Misbelieving from the chat, I heard the FBI statistic that there are between 25 and 50 active serial killers at any given time in the U.S. That sounds way too low to me. You know, misbelieving, serial killers now, because of technology, because of video, because of science, they get caught early on. So serial killers have become more rare for that reason. I'm not saying there's not a lot of them that still do exist, but the definition of a serial killer is two or more murders with time in between. And so what happens in this day and age is many killers don't get to be serial because they get caught early on in the investigation because of outstanding investigation, outstanding police work. DC, PNW, in Ted Bundy's final interview, he was asked what it came down to, why he did do it. He said because he wanted to, chilling. He inferred there were about 200 victims. Well, sometimes killers, you know, brag and purposely give, I don't think he killed 200 people, but Elena Gonzalez, I wish people, ladies, came forward to police. They know so much that can reveal more about Rex. Well, Elena, I hope they do now too, since he's not posing a danger to anyone now because he's in jail and he's not going to hurt anyone in jail. Mary Drexlin from the chat. I keep saying that Rex started murdered women and children since he graduated from high school. I believe that his first murder was back in 1983, and he probably is the murderer of all 12 of the victims. I think there's a distinct possibility of that, but we can't just say it without any evidence. Alan G., I think the divorce was a legal move to keep the house. Well, Alan G., there's undoubtedly going to be civil action against Rex Heuermann and against his estate and against his home. So yes, was that a legal maneuver by his wife so that she can shield herself from civil action by his victims and his victim's family? Absolutely. Joanne W., you reckon he could have started when his dad died? That, you know, some people said that. I don't think there's any specific evidence of that. Joanne W., I mean, Dahmer did. Rosalie Labrario, Welcome. I love this channel. Well, thank you so much. It's always good to have your work appreciated. Joanne W., when his parents split, he went bonkers. Debza Morrow, 40, hello from Colorado. My question is, how do these serial killers decide who was going to be a wife and who was going to be a victim? Complicated question. I don't think I can answer that. Very complicated question. But when I was talking on the show with Dr. Joni Johnson about organized and disorganized serial killers, some serial killers have the traits of both. And organized, you know, means, you know, you're living in the world unrecognized and you have a job. In this case, he owned a business. You own a car, you own a home. You have outwardly what seems like a normal middle-class life, except what stuck out in this case was his house. His house stuck out in that middle-class neighborhood as the house of an architect. The house looked like it was about to fall apart, you know. It was being held up by 2x4s. The roof was being held up by 2x4s. I don't think I have a picture of it right now. So did that part not stick out a little bit? But that didn't say he was a serial killer. I mean, many of us may have people that live on our block that don't take care of their house. Does that mean they're a serial killer? No. Is that an indicator of perhaps many things? Mental illness? Perhaps they just don't have the money to fix their house. So getting back to organized and disorganized. So Rex Heumann was definitely an organized offender, yet had traits of being disorganized, you know, and I point to his house at some of the traits that he had that showed he was disorganized. But if you read, there's a report by FBI agent Jim Clemente. It was in the New York Times. And he almost gave a perfect, and I'll see if I can pull it up. A perfect rendition, and this was 12 or 13 years ago, of who the Gilgo Beach killer was. I see if I can. I actually was able to pull it up. I'm going to read it to you guys because I think it's pretty impressive. This was written April 21st, 2011. He is most likely a white male in his mid-20s to mid-40s. He's married or has a girlfriend. He is well-educated and well-spoken. He is financially secure, has a job, and owns an expensive car or truck. He may have sought treatment at a hospital for poison ivy infection. As part of his job or interest, he has access to or a stockpile of burlap sacks. And he lives or used to live on or near Ocean Parkway on the south shore of Long Island, where the police have found as many as 10 sets of human remains. In interviews with serial killer experts and criminologists, including a former FBI profiler, a portrait emerges of the man who investigators on Long Island believe is responsible for several of the bodies they've discovered in the brush off of Ocean Parkway since December. For the moment, he is known in law enforcement jargon only as unsub or unknown subject. No arrests have been made and no suspects have been identified by the Suffolk County Police Department, which is leading the investigation. Profiling serial murders is far from a precise science. There are nearly 3 million people on Long Island, and the man who killed at least 4 prostitutes who advertised for clients on Craigslist is perhaps but one. And the experts interviewed are sketching out a possible suspect based on details of the case that have been publicly revealed, like the burlap sacks that the four women's bodies were found in the series of taunting phone calls that the killer is believed to have made to one of the victim's relatives. This is someone who can walk into a room and seem like your average Joe, said Scott Bond, an assistant professor of sociology at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, and a serial killer researcher. He has to be persuasive enough and rational enough that he is able to convince these women to meet him on these terms. He has demonstrated social skills. He may even be charming. That was written April 21st, 2011. Jim Clemente, an FBI profiler.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Wrote that 13 years ago. You think it was pretty damn accurate in regards to who Rex Heuermann is? I think it is. I think it was. I think it is. Not every serial killer expert can make a prediction like that. 13 years prior to the arrest and apprehension of Rex Heuermann, who is innocent until proven guilty. But yet, we can all say that, but there's a lot of evidence against him, isn't there? But there's been a lot of evidence against other people that after trial were found innocent. Deb Zamora, 40, I remember before the BTK killer was caught, his wife worried about the killer being on the loose, and he told her she didn't have anything to worry about. I wonder if something similar played out. Well, Rex Heuermann's victims were very specifically from a certain group of people. Milwaukee civilian, this description sounds like an outlier to me. I think profiles are more often wrong than correct. Remember the Beltway killers' profiles. Milwaukee civilian, you're 100% right. They can't be right every time. Even some of the sort of what would seem like arbitrary information to us, like the burlap sacks, meaning he must work in a job that uses burlap sacks or have access to them somewhere, of course. But he didn't turn out. He didn't work in a kind of job that had access to burlap sacks. But the fact that he had a car or a truck, he needed a car or a truck, didn't he, to transport the bodies. And that's how he was able to get away with it. He had to be charming, or at least approachable enough so that these women were willing to get into a car with him, didn't he? So all of those things pointed towards Rex Heuermann. And again, that was written in April 2011. Just absolutely, I think, a pretty damn good profile. But then why did it take them to July 2023 to apprehend and arrest Rex Heuermann? We all can answer that question with our own answers, but we all sort of know why, you know. A, not enough attention was given to this case. Not enough money was spent on the investigation. There was corruption at one time in Suffolk County that wasted years and years and years of this investigation. The nexus between the victims was that they were all escorts. Difficult in these cases because the bodies were found years and years later to assign the cause of death. The manner of death we know was homicide. The cause, what was the specific method that these women were killed, we would all probably think asphyxia, right? However, Sandra Castillo was stabbed. I don't have the amount of times right now, but it was overkill. That was the only body that I know of in the Gilgo Beach case that was stabbed to death. And that goes back to 1993. So did Rex Heuermann start out more violent and then get less violent? That's a question I have. That's a question I'd like to know the answer to. Just incredible. This case will continue to baffle in many ways, but yet we have many of the answers right now that we didn't have for a very long time. Misbelieving, do you think if the victims were not in that profession, would the investigation have done better? Would the community have demanded it? You know, misbelieving, we can conjecture that yeah, if this was, say, young college students from good families in Suffolk County, that's not a good reason for not doing a competent and spending the money on this case. Look, they didn't even want to admit that they had a serial killer for years. They didn't even want to admit that. So we can all look at this and say, yeah, perhaps there was some culture of the police that didn't allow them to go, what I would say, balls to the wall in this investigation. And could be, we're conjecturing, but could that be? Only the people that worked on this investigation will know the answer to that question. Will it ever come out? Will it become part of a book or a TV series or something like that? Tony, thank you. Fantastic show, Bill. Thank you so much. Carol Jane, Gacy stabbed his first victim but felt he had too much cleaning to do. Well, crazy, you know? You know, guys, I just want to thank everyone. I just when I saw the interview of Ray Tierney, I said, you know, I should get on the air right now because this is the first new information. It's not really smoking gun new, but it's given us information from Ray Tierney, who lately hasn't been going and talking to the media very much. So when I saw he did get interviewed, I said, you know, let me go on the air and present what he said during his interview. So folks, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great night, everyone, and God bless. One episode just ain't enough.
Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.